Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's Word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to now begin by saying Happy New Year, Happy New Year's Eve to everyone at Chicago Tabernacle. Come on, Philly Tab, let's. God bless you guys. Happy New Year. We trust you've had a wonderful time in the Lord's presence already today. So exciting. I know that we've baptized people today in Chicago, and we just took in 9 members here in Philadelphia. Jesus is building his church. Come on, let's put our hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm really, really excited to be able to encourage you on the last day of 2023 with something very specific from the Word of God, something for the coming year. God has given me a word for all of us for the coming year, and I want to say to you today, go into the coming year the right way. How many want to go into 2024 the right way? How many would say amen? Here's how you do that. You want to go into 2024 in faith. I want to encourage you to write faith over your 2024. How many believe that we walk by faith, and God wants us to walk by faith in 2024? Faith is what honors God. Faith is what blesses God, and faith is what will be blessed by God. And so we want to walk in faith in 2024. Somebody say amen to that. Now let me give you a real practical thing, because I didn't get to say this yet. But before I finish unpacking this message, can I give you a piece of advice if you're watching online or even here in this room? I remember being a young baby Christian, and then I heard that something was going on at church, or there was a fellowship at church for New Year's Eve, and I was used to a party, salsa, merengue, and all of these different things, and people were getting drunk and lit up and all kinds of madness. And then in my family, there was always at least one argument right before the clock. How many know what I'm talking about? One fight before the clock strikes 12 to bring in the new year, and an argument and battles. And I was absolutely blown away the first time I went into the next year with my hands raised and with my mouth filled with praise. So I want to encourage you today. Go into 2024 the right way. Do not waste your time on worldly efforts. When that clock strikes 12, I want to encourage you to lift your hands and give him glory. How many know we should enter into the new year giving him glory? Come on, let's do that right now. In Chicago, right now, lift your hands. Could we praise him just for a moment? Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you and we believe you. God, we believe you to bless our 2024, oh God. Our faith is in you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that's the way you want to go into 2024. Hallelujah. So listen, if you want to live by faith in 2024, here's what has to happen. Number one, you need to get a God-sized mission and burden for your life. Okay, I'm talking about something that you can get. Start 2024 by tapping into something that you get from God, something big from God, something big in God, rather than something big for you and from you. Tap into God's mission for your life. Tap into the will of God for your life. God's will for your life will accomplish things that are exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ever ask or think or imagine. God can do things in this coming year that will absolutely blow your mind. But listen, you have to do it by faith. Faith believes in a big God. Anybody here believing in a big God who can do great things for His glory? Amen? This is a very, very important. Please listen to this message. This is a game changer for your life. I'm not exaggerating when I talk to you about this. Now, here's a great way to qualify a God-sized vision. A God-sized vision will make you full and fruitful. Okay? A God-sized vision is different than a worldly or a self-sized vision. Full and fruitful means that you and I become givers, okay? In the same way that trees give away their fruit, you and I can give away life in 2024. And what we need to understand is God has called us to be full in Him and then to be fruitful. God is able by His mighty power. Success means that you're an accumulator. Fruitful means that you're a giver. Somebody say amen. I want to be a giver in 2024. You see, when you become a giver, your life is completely different. See, givers are strong. Givers have the security and the capacity to take from who they are because of being so full in God, and they actually can give it away to someone else. It's more blessed to what? To give than to receive. But if you're empty, if you're not full, if you're not bearing fruit, then you're like, take, take, take. But this is going to be a different year, and here's what's required. What's required is faith. Everybody say faith. So this is a big, big deal, and what we're going to do today is we're going to take a page out of Nehemiah's playbook. I'm going to read some verses from the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to discover how he wrote faith over his year. And we're actually going to learn from his testimony, and you're going to see the difference between something from God, for God, that blesses you, and something for you, as opposed to something for you. Okay, God has something more, and He will always bless you in order to make you a blessing, so you will not be left out. So when you look at the book of Nehemiah, here's one of the things that you learn is that when Nehemiah started to do something great for God, the background of it was destruction. In other words, when Nehemiah got a burden from the Lord, it was a burden to deal with the walls of Jerusalem. The city had been torn down after they were in exile for 70 years, and everything had been torn down. Now remember, when you read the Bible, these stories are meant to be applied to your life. Everybody say, this applies to me. And what that means is that, like, Christy and I were talking to an Uber driver. And, man, we've had a busy week in Philadelphia. My wife invited this lady to church. I got to witness to a Muslim Uber driver. We actually stopped. We were getting out to go to Pastor Josh's house, and we stopped there. And I was like, look, I don't want to keep you. He said, no, keep talking. And I got to share my faith, why I chose Jesus over other religions. And then we were talking to another woman, and we were like, what are you believing for the next year? She says, I want the next year to be a better year. Maybe you feel that way today. And maybe the reason you feel that way today is because you are actually facing a picture that has plenty of destruction and rubble. Things are torn down. But that is exactly what Nehemiah was facing. Here's what I want you to imagine. Think about the city of Chicago, for everyone in Chicago, but all of you have seen the skyline. Think about the beautiful cities. Do you know in the 1700s, was that 1700 or 1800s, there was a great Chicago fire? And look at this image here. So there was a great Chicago fire, and the city went from Michigan Avenue, which is the great shopping avenue of Chicago. Michigan Avenue went from that to that. Okay? So that's what it looked like. And the whole city was burned down. But here's what I want to ask like everyone in Chicago. When you think about Michigan Avenue, when you think about Chicago, and anyone here, I know that there's Chicago TV shows that some of you may watch or whatever. When you think about Chicago, what do you think about? You don't see this city. You see a city that has been rebuilt. You see a city that is beautiful and wonderful, because at a certain point in time, after the rubble, someone took on the challenge of rebuilding that city. And what I want to say to you today is, if you're going to face 2024, even if there's rubble, I want you to face it and say, by the grace of God, He can rebuild my life. He can rebuild my family. He can rebuild my mind. He can rebuild my heart. He can rebuild what the locusts stole from me. God can restore it by His mighty power. Come on, somebody say amen. I believe that. Hallelujah. God is a rebuilder and a restorer. One of the great lessons of the story of Nehemiah, his life is an example to you and I. You might be watching online and you chose to stay home because you were discouraged, but you've got enough faith to turn on the screen and watch. And I'm here to tell you, God can rebuild your life. God can restore your life. God is able by His mighty power, but we need faith. Faith rebuilds. Hallelujah. See, we as children of God, we can often make a mistake when we remove ourselves from God's kingdom agenda. I know I'm saying a lot up front, but I want to set the stage for you and I to receive some simple truth today. Simple, but really, really powerful. Simple, but powerful. Don't place your life outside of God's kingdom agenda. You see, when you think about what you want 2024 is, include the kingdom of God and watch how the blessing of God will pour down upon your life. So how many, you ready for the text now? Okay, so here it is. I'm going to read the key verse, unpack it a little, and then I'm going to read the whole text. All right, so here we go. This was Nehemiah's testimony. This is the conclusion of it all. It says this, and the king granted me what I asked. And I'm going to read this in segments of three words, and then you'll say it with me. Ready? So watch this. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. The good hand of my God was upon me. I want everyone to say that with me. Ready? The good hand of my God was upon me. Come on in Chicago, nice and loud, one more time. The good hand of my God was upon me. The reason we can write faith over 2024 is because we can put our faith in the good hand of our God being upon us. And when we believe for the good hand of our God to be upon us, I'm telling you right now, nothing is too hard for God. Is anybody ready for the good hand of God upon your life? Hallelujah. Shake off your discouragement. Shake off your unbelief. and say, I'm ready for the good hand of my God to be upon me. Stop looking at the devil's track record and start looking at what God can do in you and through you and say, today I choose faith in the name of Jesus. The good hand of my God was upon me. How did Nehemiah tackle the God-sized burden? How did he handle, take on that vision? He did it because he had faith in the good hand of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's not the task. It's not the rubble. It's not the tools. It's not the strategy. It's the good hand of God that we need in 2024. We have all of these things that we think we need. Can I tell you what we really need? We need the good hand of God upon us. When you look at the unfolding of the New Testament, you see the guys who no one would ever pick walking with Jesus. And the Bible says many, many times that because the hand of the Lord was upon them, then they turned the world upside down. And what we need to believe God is say, Lord, I have no idea how you're going to do it. I always say, don't try to figure out the miracle. But what would your life be like if the good hand of God was upon it? So let me read the rest of the story because I'm going to make some points from here. Now remember, Nehemiah was actually the king's cupbearer. And Nehemiah heard that he was in exile, miles and miles away from Jerusalem. But he was serving the king. And as he heard about Jerusalem being destroyed and the walls being torn down and no temple was built, etc., etc., and it was time for that to be restored. God gave him that. In other words, God said to Nehemiah, it's time for this to be rebuilt. And today, I'm believing that some of us are going to, that all of us will receive in our spirit that it's time. That we'd say, it's time for you to do what you really want to do in me and through me at a whole new level. No more excuses. No more crying over the rubble. I'm ready. Just put your hand upon my life. And so here's what happens. It says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. Now I want you to notice that he took it upon himself by faith to do something great. He didn't say, somebody else do it. He said, God, I want to do it. Everybody say, Lord, I want you to use me. God will use you if you ask him to. Shake off unbelief. The Lord told me before I preached this message and I was praying for you, listen to me. The Lord told me that while I was preaching, you were going to battle with unbelief, that God chose you and wants to use you. But I rebuke that lie right now in the name of Jesus. I declare to you, God wants to use your life. Shake off the unbelief. Shake it off in Jesus' name. No more bystander. No more bystander. And then he says, and the king said to me, and the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, listen closely. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, because they had to travel through many different provinces. And again, he asked for two things: letter for passage and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forests, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the forest, of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and watch this, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the Bible says, and the king granted me what I asked. Why? Let's read this together. For the good hand of my God was upon me. And so today I want to pray for the good hand. And I want you to join with me in faith that the good hand of God upon your life will be the difference maker. That the good hand of God upon your life will change your year. God honors faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to move a mountain. So come on, online, in Chicago, lift your hands with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for this time right now. And I ask that you would bless the next few moments, and that you would speak deeply to your people, and that there would be altars and prayers prayed, Lord, at the end of this that will define 2024 for us. God, we want to launch into this year in faith, and I pray that you would release faith. I pray that faith would conquer unbelief. I pray that faith would conquer the sorrows of the past and the wounds of the past and even defeats of the past today. In the name of Jesus, let faith prevail, oh God, in both of these houses. Let faith prevail in living rooms and in kitchens and in bedrooms right now, God. Do it by your mighty power. Our faith is in the good hand of God being upon us. Do it, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Faith in the good hand. And here's what it means. It means that you're ready by faith to deal with the rubble. Nehemiah had to deal with the rubble. What does rubble require? Three things very quickly. Cleanup. Maybe there's some cleanup necessary in your life. Anybody ready for some cleanup? Okay, let him clean it up. It's time for cleanup. It's time for house cleaning. And the Holy Spirit will put his finger right on those things that need to be cleaned up and gotten out of the picture. Okay, rubble requires rebuilding. By faith, God will give you the strength. God will give you everything that you need to rebuild your life. And here's the last thing. You need to remember this sermon. You need to remember this truth, not just for the next couple of weeks, but 6 months from now if the Lord tarries, and 9 months from now. And when the enemy attacks you, you have to persevere and say, I have written faith over 2024, and I will not give up my faith. How many would say amen? We're writing faith over the year. And before I apply this, let me just give you one more New Testament verse that addresses the good hand of God. Matthew 7:11 says this: if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts. Everybody say good gifts. The good hand of God gives good gifts. That's the way he is. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give everyone good gifts to those who ask him? All you have to do is ask, and the good hand of God will be upon you. Now let me just say this that's unique. What was unique to Nehemiah is unique to all of us. And we have to be aware that our faith starts right at this particular point I'm making to you, okay? Nehemiah was in a position to speak to the king. Nehemiah was in a position to speak to the king. And because Nehemiah was in the position to speak to the king, he was able to make a grand request. So I have a question for you. Do you recognize that you are in a position to speak to the king? When you are a child of God, you can speak to the king from a cave. You can speak to the king from a pit of depression. You can speak to the king even from a cesspool of sin. You can cry out to God. You can speak to the king from crisis, from difficulty, from hardship, from the mountaintop, from the valley. Wherever you are, we have access to the king. Is anybody here happy today that you can speak to the king and the king's ear is open to us? He's open. He's ready. All we have to do is approach him by faith. Speak to the king. We are positioned in the same way that he was. And so as we go into the 21-day fast, I want to encourage you to get serious about speaking to the king. I want to encourage you that take this fast seriously, because if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Make sure that you don't miss the opportunity to speak to the king. Set aside your plate. Set aside social media. Set aside the TV shows. Can I challenge you to live by faith today? I'm telling you right now, God wants to do something great in your life. Get serious about being used by God. Set aside whatever takes your appetite and diminishes it. We want to build a spiritual appetite. Anybody here want to build a spiritual appetite? That's what we need. Get hungry for God and watch God satisfy you and fill you. And so you're already positioned, just like Nehemiah was, to be favored from God and to be blessed by God. You're like, but you don't understand. You know, I haven't had a date in 17 years. God can do something in you. You don't understand. I haven't this. You know, it's funny how needs. The Bible says each heart has its own bitterness, and no one can share its joy. If they could send a keyboard player, I've got two quick application points now. Each heart knows its own bitterness. No one can share its joy. I'm talking about those deep, delicate issues of your life that you're like, I haven't moved in God in years. The good hand of God can move you. The good hand of God is able. So take advantage and seek the face of God. Talk to the king. Now I want you to notice the two things that the good hand of God did, and these are things that we can expect. Number one, the good hand of God gives us safe passage. If the keyboard player can come. The good hand of God gives us safe passage. The Bible says, here's what he said. He said, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. The good hand of God will grant us safe passage. That God wants to take us into new territories. He wants us to cross new borders. He wants you and I to go through doors that were previously closed. But guess what? We need a passport, and the Holy Spirit is about to issue passports to his people. Hallelujah. We need passports issued from heaven. When God gives you a passport, Chrissy and I travel a lot. We travel overseas, and you get into a new country, and there's guards there, there's police there, and guess what they want? They want that passport. No passport, you can't get in. Do you realize God wants to give you passports that will open doors that no man can shut, just like he did for Nehemiah? That's why what was previously closed to you, like, yeah, I don't know how. How do I get into places that I've never been in before? When God gives you that passport, everything changes. That passport carries the kingdom authority. Hallelujah. This is a big, big deal. Listen, I want to read this to you. This is a powerful, powerful story. D.L. Moody His powerful ministry was supported by a man named Ira Sankey. Ira Sankey was the guy who sang. And I want to read this to you. Ira Sankey was traveling on a steamer down the Delaware River when he was asked to sing. He led a group in singing, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." When he finished, a man stepped from the shadows and asked, "Did you ever serve in the Union Army?" "Yes," Sankey replied, "in the spring of 1860. "Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlit night in 1862? "Yes," Sankey replied. Watch this. "So did I, but I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself that this fellow will never get away alive." Think about this. Think about the enemy setting his target, his sights on your life. Right? Watch this. He says, "I raised my musket and took him. I was standing in the shadow, completely concealed, while the full light of the moon was falling upon you. At that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing. Let him sing his song to the end," I said to myself. "I can shoot him afterwards." Right? All of a sudden, he became a compassionate enemy. "He's my victim at all events, and my bullet cannot miss him." "But you sang then, but the song you sang then was the song you just sang now. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine. Do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Those words stirred up many memories. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had many times sung that song to me. When you had finished your song, it was impossible for me to take aim again. I thought, the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty, and my arm of its own accord dropped limp at my side. You don't know what's coming at you, but God knows what's coming at you, and he will grant you safe passage." Come on, put your hands together and say, "Yes, Lord." Kingdom passports. We see this all over the earth as examples of what the Heavenly Father wants to do for his children. Look at this other image. Look, this is in the Smoky Mountains in places like North Carolina and Tennessee. These are beautiful wooded areas that are filled with animals, and so they started this campaign and they built these bridges of safe passage for the animals so that they won't get run over by the cars. And they've made room. Can I tell you something? If God can make room for animals, God can make room for you. God can open up a way for you. God wants to give us some passports. Hallelujah, Jesus. But listen, you have to be open to the new road that God has for you. You have to be open. You see, God wants to take us through routes that we've never been before. Some of us, we are addicted to the old routes. And these routes are dangerous and detrimental. That relationship is dangerous and detrimental. That activity, that party, that place is dangerous and detrimental to your life. But you're like, there's no other option. I'm telling you right now, there is another option. There is a door that God wants to open. There are new friends, new relationships, new places to be blessed by the kingdom of God. But we have to say, "God, give me that passport." Okay? Don't be so stuck that you're not open to trying things God's way. Very quickly, I want you to notice that before you walk any road, one of the things that you do is you walk it mentally. Okay? Many of us, when you wake up, where are you going to go today? You think about it. What are you going to do? You think about it. What are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with your money? What are you going to, if you have an important conversation, you think about it. Your mind goes places before your body ever gets there. And so one of the things that you have to understand is many times our mind is not open to the new pathway that God wants to take us on. When I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about you no longer keep protecting and preserving the wrong kind of stinking thinking that ruins your life. Hallelujah. Faith will bless you. Faith opens a new world up to you. You don't need that. If it doesn't help you, if it doesn't bless you, if the hand of God is not in it, get rid of it. God's got something greater for your life. Listen, a businessman, I have a book. It's a fantastic business book. I've read it for leadership purposes. The book is called The Road Less Stupid. Okay? And here's what he said. He said, I don't need to do more smart things. I just need to do fewer dumb things. I need to avoid making emotional decisions and swinging at bad pitches. I need to think. The road less stupid is often the road that you and I don't want to take. The road less stupid is the one that we can't see. But if the eyes of your faith open up, you will see the new road. God has a way. He can make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. Last thing I'll say on this, I'm almost done. This has happened many, many times over the years. Don't be this person. You ready? Sometimes you give someone a faith position and they take your faith position that you have given them for their life and they knock it down with their unbelieving faith, unbelieving heart. In other words, I'm telling you right now, get ready for faith, because when faith comes at you, faith is like a passport. Faith opens the new doors. Stop defending positions of unbelief. Thank you. Somebody put your hands together. Come on in, Chicago. Put your hands together and say yes and amen. I'm going to open up my heart to avenues of faith. I'm not going to argue from a posture of unbelief. Big, big deal. Some people want the impossible, but they won't take the passport. You got to take the passport. Emotionally, can I just say this? There are very real, legitimate reasons why some of us walk in fragility and fear. But when you look at 2024, there is a road less fragile for you. When you look at 2024, there is a road less fearful for you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind, a mind that aligns with the mind of God. Do it by your mighty power. So we're not going to accommodate fragility. We're not going to accommodate fear any longer. Come on, lift your hands with me just for one moment and say, I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to give in to weakness, because I'm not a weakling. I'm a child of God. I'm not a softy. I'm a child of God. I'm not fragile. I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In Chicago, you can be strong when you're watching online. God can make you strong in Jesus, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. No more fear. We reject the spirit of fear. We reject the demonic suggestions. We reject emotional fragility. Make us strong in you, my God. Make us strong in you. Hallelujah. By faith, the weak are made strong, it says in Hebrews 11. Amen. And then here's the last thing, and I'll close. The good hand not only gives us passage, but the good hand gives us provision. The good hand gives us provision. I know I've said a lot, but stay with me. This is important truth for this year, for your life. Look at what it says. It says, Nehemiah 2:8 says this. He asked for letters of passage, and then here's the other letter, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. He said, that he may give me timber. Everybody say, give me timber, Lord. He said that he may give me timber, watch this, to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, also, and for the walls of the city, and watch this, and for the house that I shall occupy. When we ask God, this is why it's got to be a God-sized vision. This is why it's got to include God's agenda. While you say, God, I want to build your kingdom. God, I want my life to build the temple, to build the broken down walls, to help people who are in ruin and rubble. Well, when God gives you timber for the building of his kingdom, he will give you timber for the building of your house, and your house will be blessed, and your house will be full of wonderful things. When we do works for God, God does works for us. God, give us timber. I prayed. Can I tell you something? God wants to give you and I timber for all three. For the kingdom, for the temple, for the city of Philadelphia, the city of Chicago, but also for your house. God, his forest is unlimited. And all we got to do is say, Lord, I want to do your will in 2024. Give me timber. He's able by his mighty power. Do you know, as we go to close, when we had the huddle here in Philadelphia, we sang, I will make room for you. Can we sing that? Could we sing, I will make room for you? I thought, Lord, what a perfect song. What a perfect way to start, to end the year and to start the year. For us to come and say, Lord, I want to make room for faith in 2024. Will you believe today that you are positioned to be heard from God? Do you believe that God will hear you if you ask him, if you approach him? God wants you to believe. Are you open to new roots? I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar right now. In a moment, one of the pastors is going to call you. But can I tell you something? When you come, you're saying, Lord, I'm ready for the new roots. I'm ready for a passport. Are you ready to ask for the timber to build your life? The king's forest is open. Come on, stand to your feet. Go ahead, pastor. Whoever's there, you could take it from here.